Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Path to Piety 2012 at Masjid Darus Salam, Toronto, Canada. Saturday after Maghrib Salah, 7th of April 2012. We are losing the sympathy between each other. Respecting the differences of opinion. Some advice to Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu by his father Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Lessons from the life of the last Khalif, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. The speech is presented by Hazrat Malana Suleiman Mullah Shahib Damat Barakatuhu.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala al-mab'uuthi rahmatan lil alameen. Nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa man tabi'ahum bi ihsanin ila yawmiddin wa ba'd. فقد قال جل وعلا في كتابه المجيد وفرقانه الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ما أصابكم من مصيبة فبما كسبت أيديكم ويعفو عن كثير وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم عليكم بسنتي وسنة الخلفاء الراشدين المهديين عضوا عليها بالنواجذ وإياكم ومحدثات الأمور فَإِنَّ كُلَّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. Honorable scholars, respected brothers, elders, mothers and sisters, it is a natural phenomena and a human instinct to sympathize and empathize with the victim of any tragedy, be it friend or foe, whether he belongs to a common religion or any other denomination. It is intrinsic to human nature, it's inherent, it's inborn within the human race, that whenever there's a catastrophe that plagues the planet, whenever there is a difficulty that paralyzes a nation, then we stand up, we rally behind those victims, we gather funds, we support them morally, financially. And it's awesome, it's brilliant, it's meritorious. Nay, it is by virtue of such qualities that it elevates the human race over other creations. However, as caring as the human is, as sympathetic as he is, his approach is very different when the nature of the problem is self-inflicted. The very caring human becomes apprehensive, he becomes skeptical, he becomes two-minded. No, leave him, he needs to learn a lesson. One minute he's showing his support, he's going out to the maximum, but that's when obviously there's external factors upon him. But when he has inflicted harm upon himself, then people tend to drift away from him. Sheikh Sadi Rahmatullah Alayhi said, I sympathize with the victim of every tragedy, but a jealous man. He has decided to inflict harm upon himself. He must live with the agony of that. If you harbor jealousy, you must know that agony will be part of your life. Shu'aib alayhi salatu wasalam passed by the ruins of his nation after their destruction, and then he addressed the dead corpse. Sima'ul Mawta is an academic discussion. Scholars will tell you that the dead can also listen. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed by the dead corpse of the disbelievers in the qalib of Badr, in the well of Badr, and then he addressed them and he said, "Hal wajadtum ma wa'ada rabbukum haqqan? Have you finally seen what I had cautioned you about? And are you living exactly what I told you?" So one sahabi nudges another and he says, "Is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam speaking to dead people?" The Prophet ﷺ said, I swear by Allah whose control is my life, they can hear better than you. Someone came to Shah Taullah Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi, and he said, is it true that the dead can listen? He said, we in a time even the living are not listening. Is it true that the dead can listen? Shah Taullah Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi said, we in a time that even the living are not listening. I remember there was an old man, he was very fond of me and he always wanted to take me out, may Allah fill his qabr with nur, for programs. So he was living from one very remote town in South Africa, and he always wanted to take me, and I finally appeased him and I went. And I said, please share some advice because we can learn a lot from the elderly folk. He says, one day my dad sat me down and he said, gave us some advice and some encouragement. And then after a little while we went to play and we came back, and then he says, okay, can you recall what I told you? And I said, no dad, I've slipped up and I have forgotten everything. And then he said, yes, I guess it entered from one ear and it exited from the other. I said, yeah, pretty much that. The old man is narrating to me. He said, that's also something good. A time will come, the youth won't allow it to enter the first ear, never mind exit the other ear. He said, it entered one and it exited. Okay, it's not the best of things, but I'm happy it entered. A time will come, the youth won't have the time to entertain it, to absorb it, to digest it, to reflect, to introspect. So when there's no entrance, the word exit doesn't feature. So Shuaib alayhi salatu wasalam passed by the ruins of his nation. And what did he say? لَقَدْ أَبْلَغْتُكُمْ رِسَالَاتِ رَبِّي وَنَصَحْتُ لَكُمْ فَكَيْفَ آسَىٰ عَلَىٰ قَوْمٍ كَافِرِينَ O my nation, now that I see you lying here as dead corpse, I had forewarned you, I had cautioned you, but you chose to disbelieve. How can I lament your nasty fate? How can I cry over your bitter consequences when this is something you opted for? If we reflect around us today in the world, by and large, the crisis that has gripped and plagued the planet is self-inflicted. On a micro level, on a macro level. So you meet a brother, he says, did you hear that Brother Ibrahim has been admitted into the clinic, into the hospital? And then you say, no, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi. What are you telling me? Apparently the pulmonologist has diagnosed lung cancer. Yeah, but then he's got a bad smoking habit also. I guess what you're going to do? Immediately your sympathy turns away. Initially you hurt, you pained, you're concerned. And then you come home and the phone rings. And you pick up the phone and then you say, no, don't tell me this. Those around you are in panic. What are you saying? Says the marriage that was solemnized a month ago has been dissolved. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. What happened? Apparently, through the grapevine we heard that one partner has been cheating on the other partner. Maybe it's better it broke. That would be the reaction. Maybe it's better it broke. Rather at the infant stages and the early stages. And you walk out of the masjid and someone says, this brother is insolvent, liquidated. But he was flying high, he was a globetrotter, he was a seasoned traveler, he had everything covered. What happened to him? Well, he had some unsavory dealings. He was a compulsive gambler. He had his hands tainted into some haram dealings. What goes around comes around. It goes on, and you can look, you will find directly or indirectly, the cause of our misery today is we have inflicted crisis upon ourselves, because of which the element of sympathy is also gradually diminishing, and we're becoming isolated individuals in our problems. So you meet a person and says, I'm really sorry to hear that your brother's got a habit. You know what? Our family has moved on. We've decided to move on with life. If that's what he wants, he will have to live with it. We've moved on. We are becoming isolated in our problems. The only way we can attract sympathy, and not human sympathy, but divine sympathy, and we can free ourselves from these trials, is we have to align ourselves with the thinking of Sahaba and synchronize our thoughts with their thinking. Then only will Allah have pity on the human race. And like Mufti Sahab alluded, that in my talk today, I want to present before you the life of every Sahabi is rich, and in particular the Khulafa, because it has a rich contribution in the political arena. It has a rich content because they all were the rulers. They were the Khulafa as well. So I thought I would share with you anecdotes from the life of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. Our theme is on Sahaba. But how we could align ourselves to the thinking of Sahaba, and in particular Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, which is the focus of my thought. At the onset, I must say Human existence on earth by its very nature is riddled with challenges. وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدٍ. Indeed, we've created man in labor and pain. Under this ayah in Ma'riful Quran, Mufti Shafi Sahab Rahmatullah Alayhi has written, the sheer thought, the sheer aspiration for a hiccup-free life is a futile exercise. Its reality is far-fetched. If you entertain in a thought and you are in a dream world, that itself is engaging in something futile because it's against the grain with which Allah has created us. So life by its very nature itself is challenging, it has its hurdles, it has impediments, it has difficulties, it has obstacles. The cry is that we have to deal with what Mother Nature has put in our plate, and we then compound it and inflict upon ourselves new problems. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, when he lost the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and 6 months thereafter he lost Fatima radiallahu anha, that was a rather challenging period in his life. And he said, I can see the waters are becoming stormy upon me. And I can see the tides are becoming rough. And the oceans are becoming very rough upon me. The view is becoming obscured and blurred for me. أَرَى عِلَلَ الدُّنْيَا عَلَيَّ كَثِيرًا. أَرَى عِلَلَ الدُّنْيَا عَلَيَّ كَثِيرًا. I can just see things are mounting and the challenges are intensifying and it's becoming more aggressive in its grip and it's becoming more harsh in its approach. وَصَاحِبُهَا حَتَّى الْمَمَاتِ عَلِيلُ. But then again, how can I escape it? That's pretty much what Allah has destined for the humankind on earth. لِكُلِّ جِتِمَاعٍ مِنْ خَلِيلَيْنِ فُرْقَةٍ. What less a pain is this that the union of every two ends up in separation? What less a pain is this that the union between every two, that's the rhythm of life. Imam Shafi Rahmatullah Alayhi, when he used to console someone, his words of condolence are so amazing. And really we have to learn from the pious how to greet someone, how to congratulate someone, and even how to console someone. I was one day visiting a person that was very ill, terminally ill. And obviously the Prophet ﷺ said the narration of Tirmidhi, فَنَفِّسُوا لَهُ فِي أَجَلِهِ. That encourage him that he will recover. Because your encouragement won't change anything on the ground, but it will definitely lighten the spirit of your brother. Now, you would think that that is common sense, it goes without saying. Another brother comes in there and he says, hey brother, I'm really sorry to hear that you've been ill. What condition have they diagnosed? So he said, they've diagnosed this condition. He said, yeah, I just lost a friend with the same thing last week ago. If I ever wanted the earth to split and swallow me, it was that moment. Now, how do you do damage control at a time like this? I mean, could you be so insensitive? Could you? I've heard so many sisters that have called me and said, Sheikh, when you speak, Allah by His will has decided that I cannot have children. And I've made peace with the decision of Allah. But I had to alienate myself from social circles because of the taunting of people. You married so long, you don't have kids? As if I'm in control. And she tears and she says, I've made peace with what Allah has decided for me. And I look at Aisha radiallahu anha. The Master sallallahu alayhi wasallam wedded all his spouses. Allah only favored him with children from Khadija radiallahu anha. Aisha radiallahu anha had no children. The other spouses had children from their previous husband. And Aisha radiallahu anha had the sense and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam consoled her. But what I'm saying is how insensitive at times people can be. And As bin Wa'il had made that condescending, derogatory, inflammatory remarks regarding the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he made the inference of abtar. Abtar in Arabic refers to an animal, the tail of which has been severed. And the metaphoric implications of his derogatory reference was that your male children have passed on. So you are like an animal whose tail has been cut off, O Muhammad. Your progeny will not prosper, your name will not remain. So Allah responded by saying, إِنَّ شَانِئَكَ هُوَ الْأَبْتَرِ. I read an article now, the most common name in the world is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And we know that. So how Allah elevated his name, and perhaps it's the first time you heard Asb bin Wail when I told you who he was. So Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu said, أَرَى عِلَلَ الدُّنْيَا عَلَيَّ كَثِيرًا. I see that the challenges of the world are mounting upon me. So Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi used to say, إِنِّي مُعَزِّيكَ لَا أَنِّي عَلَى ثِقَةٍ مِّنَ الْخُلُودِ وَلَكِنْ سُنَّةَ الدِّينِ. My brother, I'm consoling you on the loss of your beloved, not because I have a guarantee that I will live. But the only reason is I'm consoling you because it is a ritual and a practice of our deen. فَمَا الْمُعَزَّى بِبَاقٍ بَعْدَ مَيِّتِهِ وَلَا الْمُعَزِّي وَلَوْ عَاشَى إِلَى حِينِ. Neither the person consoling nor the person being consoled will see eternity. وَمَا الدَّهْرُ إِلَّا هَكَذَا وَمَا الدَّهْرُ إِلَّا هَكَذَا. This is pretty much the nature of life. رَزِيَّةُ مَالٍ أَوْ فِرَاقُ حَبِيبِي. Sometimes you have to bid farewell with a beloved, and sometimes you have to separate with an item. And between these two things, the human juggles his life and he moves on until he finally meets his creator. So what I want to speak about, and that would be the focus of my talk, and relating to the life of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, life is challenging. That's it. There's no way out. You know, sometimes when a little infant gets hurt, a toddler, then to appease him, you start hitting lifeless objects. And atta. And you hit him this year to appease that child. But sometimes it's good to let the child know at its earliest point, that's life. I cannot cushion you at all times. I cannot insulate you. I cannot fortify you at all times. You will fall, I will hurt, and that is what Allah has decided in life. مَا يُصِيبُ الْمُسْلِمُ مِنْ نَصَبٍ وَلَا وَصَبٍ وَلَا هَمٍ وَلَا شَوْكَ. The Prophet ﷺ said, grief, sorrow, pain, infliction, anything that comes upon a believer is a source of atonement and expiation for his sins. But now let's just reflect how we bring misery to ourselves. One of the greatest causes that the human race has brought misery to itself stems from greed and jealousy. We have compounded our life, we've exacerbated our issues, we have aggravated our crisis, we have really brought misery to ourselves because of us not curtailing the element of greed within ourselves. So here, a beggar comes to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, fi thawbin mumazzaqin, torn and tattered clothes. Ja'a rajulun miskinun, a pauper comes. يَتْلُبُ الطَّعَامَ مِنْ عَلِيٍّ. He's asking food from Ali radiallahu anhu. He's sitting outside. He's having some constructive time with his children, with his son Hassan radiallahu anhu. And the beggar comes. The son is observing, he's looking, he's interacting. There's so much to share and appreciate. So Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu tells his son Hassan, go to your mom Fatima radiallahu anha and tell her, إِنَّ أَبِي تَرَكَ عِنْدَكِ سِتَّةَ دَرَاهِمْ هَاتِ مِنْهَا دِرْهَمًا. My dad has left 6 dirhams with you. He's asking for 1 dirham. Understand, that's about all the money in the house. If I send my son in, I say, go tell your mom, there's $1,000 in the cupboard, not that dollars. There's the one in the closet. No, not that. There's 200 on the microwave, where you'll see there's some euros. Leave that behind that, there's some, bring that. This is about all in the house of Ali. This is about all, 6 dirhams, nothing more. Hati minha dirhaman. So he goes in, he modestly asks his mom, Fatima radiallahu anha, my dad is asking for a dirham. She responds, like any woman would, and she says, taraktuha lid-daqiq. There's nothing at home, and I thought I'll keep this, we'll buy some flour, and hopefully I can make some dough and prepare some bread. So I'm not objecting, but just so that we can have a basic meal, if it's fine with your dad and my partner. So Hassan radiallahu anhu comes. Appreciate the communication a young boy is getting. The beautiful exposure. My father is giving charity. My mother is having some sense of reservation. How is my dad engaging with it? Today's children are exposed to vulgarity, to obscene language, to nasty comments, and to vituperative language. That is the type of of remarks that would happen in an average home. So he comes back, he says, oh, my dad, this is what my mom has said. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu becomes a bit angry. And he says, لا يصدق إيمان عبد حتى يكون ما في يد الله أوثق مما في يده. You know, iman demands that your trust in the treasures of Allah is greater than that which you have in your pocket. Now tell your mom, I want all 6 dirhams. Now tell your mom. Now a lesson has to be learned, a precedent has to be set. And I need to nip this in the bud before an evil trait sets into my family. Now something else has to happen. Now it's a matter of a lesson that has to be learned. So he goes, she complies. If it was us, it would be elevated, it would be ugly, it would be personal. His family, my family, and whoops, now we're dealing with other issues. She complies, the 6 dirhams are given. Good luck to the beggar from 1 to 6. One beggar came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him a dirham. The narration is in Hayat al-Sahaba. He said, oh, a lousy date won't do me much. Another beggar came. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him the date. He said, Subhanallah, tamaratun min Rasulillah, la tufariquni hadhihi tamara ma baqid. Oh my word, this is sentimental value. A date from Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I cannot ask for better. فَمَا لَبِثَ الرَّجُلُ أَنْ إِسْتَغْنَى. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he is really appreciative. Umm Salma, give me the 40 dirhams that you have, give it to him. The narration goes on. It was few days and he became one of the most wealthy people of Medina. The element of gratitude. He took the 6 dirhams and he went. The narrator of the hadith said, I was startled. I was amazed. وَفِي لَحْظَةٍ جَاءَ رَجُلٌ. A person came. مَعَهُ جَمَلٌ. He had a camel. يُرِيدُ بَيْعَهُ. He was selling the camel. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu said, أَتَبِيعُ هَذَا الْجَمَلِ. Are you selling the camel? He said, of course. How much are you selling it for? He said, بِمِئَةٍ وَأَرْبَعِينَ دِرْهَمًا. 140 dirhams. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu said, اِعْقِلْهُ عَلَى أَن نُؤَخِّرَكَ بِثَمَنِهِ. Would you be kind enough to tie the camel and I will settle you as soon as I have some dirhams? He said, perfect. If you study the etymology of Arabic language and you appreciate the depth of its linguistics, then aqala in Arabic, aqala ya'qilu means to tie. Sheikh Sayyid Ahmad Kabir Rifa'i rahmatullah alayhi, who was amongst the great mashayikh of Baghdad, he derives the word aqala in Arabic, aql means intellect. And if you dissect it and you study its etymology, then aqala ya'qilu means to tie. He said, why has the human intellect been referred to as aql? Because its fundamental object is to tie your ego, to grip your nafs, to control your evil. If it doesn't control your evil, if it doesn't harness it, if it doesn't suppress it, if it doesn't contain it, if it doesn't curtail it, then really, you know, you say, I've got upstairs here, but you got nothing, my friend. The person went to the brain surgeon, looked at him, he said, you know what, the human brain is divided into two, the right side and the left side. You've got nothing left on the right and nothing right on the left. You've got nothing left on the right and nothing right on the left. Okay. اِعْقِلْهُ تَعِي the camel. عَلَىٰ أَن نُؤَخِّرَكَ بِثَمَنِهِ. As soon as the money comes, we'll pay you. Perfect. The narrator of the hadith says, I'm further startled. Another person passes by. Sayyidina Ali didn't have to fly to China to do a deal. He's sitting at home. His son is interacting. What a wholesome morning. What an amazing morning. Charity takes place. Transaction takes place. That man barely leaves and a third man comes. أَتَبِيعُ هَذَا الْجَمَلِ. Ali, is this your camel? He said, yes indeed. Are you selling it? Of course I'm selling it. How much would you ask for the camel? He said, بِمِئَتَيْن dirham. 200 dirhams. He said, perfect. I've accepted it and I'm buying this from you. I said, SubhanAllah. Barely 5 minutes, and so objective, so wholesome. He gives the 200 dirhams to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. Akhad al-ba'ir, he takes the camel and he walks away. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu immediately goes behind the brother from whom he purchased it, gives him the 140 dirhams, and takes the 60 and he goes home. As he enters, he puts the 60 dirhams before his wife. She's all lit up, brightened. She says, what's the moment? What's the occasion? So he says, مَنْ جَاءَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ فَلَهُ عَشْرُ أَمْثَالِهَا. This is exactly in the narration, he reads this ayah. So she says, explain and unpack, what do you mean? Says, your father Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us that when we give in the path of Allah, then Allah won't only increase our reward, Allah will also increase our monetary returns by 10. Now, let's do some soul searching. Hindsight, let's introspect. Why won't this barakah come to me? It's so beautiful, it's so great. But then Shaykh, it doesn't just work like that. Let me tell you why it doesn't work like that. Number one, I don't have the courage to give 6 dirhams in the path of Allah if that is all what I own. If that's all what I own, I will be very skeptical. I'm counting my cents, I'm counting my pennies, I'm counting my pounds and my dollars, even when I have so much. So that's the first negative and that's the first snag, the first setback. Number two, hypothetically, if I gave the 6 dirhams and then I thereafter bought the camel from a person and then the second man came and he offered me to buy the camel from me and I made a price of purchase. I said 200 dirhams and he said, yes, okay. As soon as he agreed, I said, no man, I think if I said 250 also, he would have been fine. You know, this guy was game, man. He was easy. He wasn't fussy about money. Brother, you know what? I'm just reminded that I have someone who's offered me 250. Now, this greed has taken away happiness from my life. That I've entered into an agreement. The brother is happy and I'm happy. Suddenly, greed bothers me. And I know, you know, I said 200, but I'm reminded. My wife told me that my brother-in-law actually reminded... Whoa, what's this? What are you talking? Okay, that's not all. Let's say we agreed on 200. And the man paid me the 200. Unfortunately, I didn't have the courtesy to pay the man the 140 I was owing. This weekend, I'm taking my whole family and we're splashing out on an event. So while I take the full 200 dirhams, the man who I am owing money to, his heart is hurling a curse towards me. And that curse will bring misery to me on my holiday. By Allah, the curse of the creditor, the curse of the man you owe in money, you cannot undo that curse even if you hold the Kaaba and make dua. Pay him his due and then only you'll able to undo that curse. إِذَا جِتَمَعَ الْآفَاتُ فَالْبُخْلُ شَرُّهَا وَشَرٌّ مِّنَ الْبُخْلِ الْمَوَاعِيدُ وَالْمَطَلُ وَلَا خَيْرَ فِي وَعْدٍ إِذَا كَانَ كَاذِبًا وَلَا خَيْرَ فِي قَوْلٍ إِذَا لَمْ يَكُنْ فِعْلُ إِن كُنْتَ ذَا عِلْمٍ وَلَمْ تَكُ عَاقِلًا فَأَنْتَ كَذِي نَعْلٍ وَلَيْسَ لَهُ رِجْلٌ وَإِن كُنْتَ ذَا عَقْلٍ وَلَمْ تَكُ عَالِمًا فَأَنْتَ كَذِي رِجْلٍ وَلَيْسَ لَهُ نَعْلُ أَلَا إِنَّمَا الْإِنسَانَ غِمْدٌ لِعَقْلِهِ وَلَا خَيْرَ فِي غِمْدٍ إِذَا لَمْ يَكُنْ نَصْلُ. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu said, إِذَا جِتَمَعَ الْآفَاتُ فَالْبُخْلُ شَرُّهَا. If I have to pen down all evil traits, surely miserly is number one. No, wait, hang on, I got a second thought. وَشَرٌّ مِّنَ الْبُخْلِ الْمَوَاعِيدُ وَالْمَطَلُ. There's something even worse than maizin, and that is to delay in the payment of a due. That is to withhold, that is to exploit, that is to abuse the funds of someone else. وَلَا خَيْرَ فِي وَعْدٍ إِذَا كَانَ كَاذِبًا. Don't bother making a promise if you're not going to honor it. وَلَا خَيْرَ فِي قَوْلٍ إِذَا لَمْ يَكُنْ فِعْلُ. And what good is there in an utterance if you cannot marry it with an action? If you cannot complement it with an action? إِن كُنْتَ ذَا عِلْمٍ. If you've acquired the sciences of Islam, وَلَمْ تَكُ عَاقِلًا. But you don't apply your logic. فَأَنْتَ كَذِي نَعْلٍ وَلَيْسَ لَهُ رِجْلُ. Then you know what? You got shoes, my brother, but you don't have a leg. You got shoes, but you don't have a leg. And if you have intellect exclusive, and you don't have knowledge, then you have a leg and you don't have shoes. Either way, you're going to hurt yourself. Second incident. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, in his time, in his period, two people are sitting on the side of the road. Tariq al-Khulafa, this incident is mentioned. Jalasa rajulani yataghaddayani fi janib al-tariq. I'm only going to speak about how greed has brought misery to our life. Otherwise, we can speak about how lust has brought misery to our life. How pride has brought misery to our life. Every evil trait. I'm talking of one thing. Just look at how complicated our life has become. Two people are sitting on the side of the road. This is an amazing incident. مَعَ أَحَدِهِمَا خَمْسَةُ أَرْغِفَ One had five loaves of bread. وَمَعَ الْآخَرْ ثَلَاثَةُ أَرْغِفَ And the other gentleman had three loaves of bread. So they got eight loaves of bread and they sat down to eat. فَمَرَّ الرَّجُلُ So a person passes by. تَارِيخُ الْخُلَفَى فَسَلَّمْ He greets. So they respond to his greeting. And ethically, morally, religiously, they said, اجلس وتغدّ معنا. Brother, please sit down. Sit down, join us. So he sat down. فَأَكَلُوا الْأَرْغِفَةَ الثَّمَانِيَ بِالسَّوِيَّةِ The three of them eat the eight loaves equally. After they ate they consumed the eight loaves, he stands up, the third person, the outsider, the passerby, and he gives them eight dirhams. And he said, خُذَاهَا عِوَضًا عَمَّا أَكَلْتُ مِنْ تَعَامِكُمَا Okay, listen, you've been kind to me, and you've offered me bread, and I've ate it, and it was really great. Here's eight dirhams as acknowledgement to you for the food that you've given me. فَقَالَ صَاحِبُ الْخَمْسَةِ لِي خَمْسَةُ دَرَاهِمْ So the brother who had five loaves of bread, he said, five for me, you had three loaves, three for you, logic, that's it. He said, no. تَكُونُ بَيْنَنَا مُنَاصَفَةً We must share this equally. He said, brother, I had five loaves, you had three loaves. It's perfect logic. I get five dirhams, you get three. He said, no, you give me four and you keep four. I said, okay, let's go to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. Now listen, if he accepted the three, it was a done deal. It was over. You got home on time. No problems, no complications. The complication came when you want to institute litigation process. Legal advice. This is where issues became compounded. Nip it in the bud. Bring a sense of understanding. Take your three dirhams. I take my five dirhams. Call it a day and let's end off. They go to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. Now before I tell you the amazing pronouncement of Ali radiallahu anhu, let me objectively digress and tell you where he derived his wisdom from when it came to pronouncing verdicts. One day a delegation from Yemen came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ibn Jarir's narration, أَنَّ نَاسًا مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْيَمَنْ أَتَوْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They came and they said, Ya Rasulullah, send with us someone who teaches us deen, يُفَقِّهُنَا فِي الدِّينِ وَيُعَلِّمُنَا السُّنَنْ وَيَحْكُمْ فِينَا بِكِتَابِ اللَّهِ You know, can you send someone that is really, that we can have great trust on? And that was the beauty of the companions. You know what was the richness of Sahaba? Imam Bukhari makes mention of a narration in Tariq al-Saghir on page 29. Many people want to say Bukhari, they don't even know that Imam Bukhari has many other compilations. They think Imam Bukhari only has the Bukhari Sharif. That's great and awesome. Al-Adab al-Mufrad, Tariq al-Saghir, Kabir, read how many talifat he had. In Tariq al-Saghir, Imam Bukhari makes mention on page 29. What an amazing incident. When you talk of the richness of Sahaba, the Prophet ﷺ could delegate any Sahabi at any time and say, okay, you go rescue this situation, you take care of this, you go there, you just sort out this. That was the beauty of Sahaba. That is how capable they were. If only we could have that. If only we could have that. One brother didn't have children any age and he says, you know, Shaykh, if I had children, I wouldn't have been working now. I said, uncle, retract your words. Those that have children in their old age, they're working even more. They're working even more. I read an article. They say that if you want to conduct a workshop on parenting, it will be in your interest to invite grandparents today more than the biological parents. Because the grandparents of today have become the keepers of those children, because unfortunately those marriages have been broken up and some have moved this way, some have moved that way. But the old folks are hanging on to those children. That's my blood, that's my value. So if you want to have a parenting workshop with the new demographics of the world, you will be surprised to know it's more important for you to target grandparents than biological parents. So when you look at the ability and the capability of Sahaba, so anyway, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu was sitting in a room with Sahaba, rich with them. What that atmosphere must have been, how electric, how emotional. You know, whenever I think of Umar, I just start crying. And when I go to his qabr and I stand in Medina also, I just get emotional because of, I just imagine, you know, from plotting the assassination to sleeping in the lap of the master
what a transformation, Umar, that your name alone gives us a shiver. And there is this amazing love that you've put in our hearts because of what you've done for the cause of Islam. So Umar radiallahu anhu addressed the congregation and he said, Tamannaw, tell me, what would you folks like? What's your aspiration? Look at the vision of Sahaba, look at the aspiration. فَقَالَ أَحَدُهُمْ أَتَمَنَّى أَن يَكُونَ مِثْلَ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ ذَهَبًا فَأُنْفِقُهَا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. I wish this whole room was full of gold, and then I could, not for the sake of being filled, but so that I could own it and spend it in the path of Allah. So they said, MashaAllah, that's awesome. What a great aspiration. وَقَالَ آخر أَتَمَنَّى أَن يَكُونَ مِلْعَ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ فِضَّةِ. I wish this whole room was full of silver, and I could spend it in the path of Allah. Sayyidina Umar said, tell me more. Someone said, Johar, I wish it was full of diamonds. He said, give me more desires and aspiration. They said, مَا تَمَنَّيْنَا بَعْدَ هَذَا. Umar, our aspirations are depleted, and that's about all. Then they said, oh, Amir al-Mu'mineen, would you be kind enough to express to us what's your aspiration? Oh man, when I read it, I teared. He said, أَتَمَنَّى أَن يَكُونَ مِلْأَ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ رِجَالًا مِثْلَ أَبِي عُبَيْدَةِ وَمُعَاذِ بْنَ جَبَلٍ وَحُذَيْفَةَ بْنَ الْيَمَانِ فَأَسْتَعْمِلُهُمْ فِي طَاعَةِ اللَّهِ وَطَاعَةِ رَسُولِهِ. I wish this whole room was brimming with multiple Mu'adh ibn Jabals. I wish we had hundreds of Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah. And I wish we had thousands of Huzaifa ibn Yaman. And then I could just delegate and dispatch and say, take care, take care. That's my aspiration. Then he said, wait, hang on. My trust that I have in them was not for any ordinary reason. ثُمَّ بَعَثَ بِمَالٍ إِلَىٰ أَبِي عُبَيْدَةِ وَقَالْ أُنْذُرْ مَا يَسْنَعْ. He sent a handsome amount of money. He said, go give it to Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah. And he told the Sahabi, give it to him and then watch what he does. And I'll tell you why I have such trust in them. So he said, I took the money, I'm all excited. You know what? Anybody give you a gift, anybody pays you money, it's always good time. And anybody asks you money, it's always wrong time. Beginning of the month, you know, I'm dry. End of the month, I've got commitments. Middle of the month, you know, I do my banking early. You know, it's anytime you ask money, it's wrong. And anytime you give aid, on time. Give him the money and watch. Undur ma yasna. He said, I went and I gave him the money. Subhanallah, he didn't leave my hand. He said, please help me, we distribute it together. I said, Subhanallah. I came back to Umar, I said, Umar, spot on, your vision in the man proved out exactly. I was just, my level of admiration just went to a pinnacle. The man there wasn't a smile on his face. He dispensed of all the funds. He said, wait, that's not over. ثُمَّ بَعَثَ بِمَالٍ إِلَىٰ مُعَاذِ بْنِ جَبَلٍ. He did that for Mu'adh ibn Jabal. Then he did that for Hudhayfa ibn Yaman radiallahu anhu. Then he said, لَقَدْ قُلْتُ لَكُمْ. I said what I said because I knew what Allah had inspired me about these people. أَتَمَنَّى أَن يَكُونَ. Imagine a parent could say, I wish all my children had understanding. I wish they didn't have bickering. I wish they didn't have differences. I wish they were not going to fight over my estate. I wish they had maturity. And they could rise beyond all these aspirations. And look at the greater and the bigger and the holistic picture. So that was the level of ability and capability in the Sahaba. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Intaliq ya Ali, fafaqihum fi al-din, wa'allimhum as-sunan, wa'hkum fihim bi-kitab." Okay, Ali, these people from Yemen came. Please go take care of everything. And when you delegated a Sahabi, you didn't have to look back. Sayyidina Luqman said, "Delegate a wise man, and if you don't find a wise man, delay your task or do it yourself." Delegate a wise man, communicate this message, drop this, fetch this, whatever it is. Someone capable, wise, competent and skilled. If you don't find him, it would be better to delay that task or do it yourself. But you send someone that's not competent and capable, your regrets will be more. So Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu said, "Inna ahla al-Yaman qawmun tagham, ya'tuni min al-qadha bima la ilma li." Some of these people can be foolish, O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You're sending me there. How am I going to deal with it? فَضَرَبَ النَّبِيُّ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam صَدْرِي. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam struck my chest. And then he said, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ سَيَهْدِي قَلْبَكْ وَيُثَبِّتُ لِسَانَكْ. Don't worry. Allah will inspire your tongue and guide your heart. فَمَا شَكَكْتُ فِي قَضَاءٍ بَيْنَ اثْنَتَيْنِ حَتَّى السَّاعَةِ. He said, it was the effect of that supplication. From that day, I didn't have to twitch my eye. Whenever I pronounce a verdict, I had divine inspiration. Two incidents quickly, then I'll come back to what I was saying in the wisdom of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. During the time of Umar ibn Khattab, one person was flogging a woman who was alleged that she had committed zina. So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu asked, what happened, brother? He said, تَزَوَّجْتُهَا فَأَنْجَبَتْ لِي بَعْدَ سِتَّةَ أَشْهُرٍ. I wedded this woman and she gave birth to a child, to a offspring within 6 months. So that makes me feel that perhaps she had an early deposit. Because like we just got wedded and in 6 months, how did this happen? So Sayyidina Umar said, okay, well, maybe then, yeah, what are we going to do? Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu said, إِنَّهَا بَرِئَةٌ مِّنَ الزِّنَا. This woman is innocent. I vindicate her. I exonerate her. She's blameless. So Sayyidina Umar said, how? He said, two verses of the Quran. One verse Allah says, وَالْوَالِدَاتُ يُرْضِعْنَ أَوْلَادَهُنَّ حَوْلَيْنِ كَامِلَيْنِ لِمَنْ أَرَادَ أَن يُتِمَّ الرَّضَاعَ. That the suckling period is 2 years. And in another verse in the 26th juz in Surah Ahqaf, Allah says, وَحَمْلُهُ وَفِصَالُهُ ثَلَاثُونَ شَهْرًا. That Allah says, the gestation period, the pregnancy period, and then the nursing period, and then the weaning, all this happens in 30 months. So how do you reconcile between the two verses? One verse says that the suckling period is 2 years, and another verse says that the pregnancy and the suckling happens in 30 months. That gives us a subtle indication that if the mother has to suckle her child for 2 years, that means the minimum in which a child can be born through the subtle inference of this ayah is 6 months. Sayyidina Umar, now this was the beauty of Sahaba. When somebody told them something, they embraced it. They accepted it. تَهَلَّلَ وَجْهُ عُمَرِ. His face was radiating. He said, لَوْلَا عَلِيٌ لَهَلَكَ عُمَرِ. May Allah preserve you. If anybody has rescued me, it's you, my brother. This was the cleanliness of their hearts. This was the openness of their nature. Anyway, there's another incident that during the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, there was one woman, her husband was out, but people were visiting the place. So this obviously created a bit of an alarm and concern. Imra'atun mughayyiba. Her husband was out, but people were going. So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu sent a message and said, tell her I want to see her. I need to query this. His eye was over everything. So she said, no, I'm not going. Umar ne hu jaine ke wa. So people said, Ajibi Umar. You'll have to go to Umar, oh sister. She was pregnant. They encouraged her. She went. But obviously the fear of Umar, the phobia, the awe of Umar, as she was walking, due to her nervousness and her stress, it brought about early labor. فَدَخَلَتْ دَارًا فَأَلْقَتْ وَلَدَهَا فَصَاحَ السَّبِيُّ سَيْحَتَيْنِ فَمَاتْ. She went into early labor, premature labor, she gave birth, the child made a sound or two and he died. Now there's obviously an issue now, sorting out that's a separate thing, but there's a death here. فَاسْتَشَارَ عُمَرُ أَصْحَابَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. Umar consulted the Sahaba, am I liable for the death of this infant, of this fetus? So the general Sahaba, لَيْسَ عَلَيْكَ شَيْءٍ. إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ وَالٍ وَمُؤَدِّبٍ. No. You did nothing. You acted perfectly within your right. It is your prerogative to question, to interrogate and to, you know, follow measures. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu didn't look very impressed with the verdict. Now if I see someone who's not very impressed, I'll bypass him. I will deliberately bypass him because I know I'll get a curve ball coming from that side. So Sayyidina Umar said, wait. Ali is not looking impressed. Ali, what's your opinion? He said, إِن كَانُوا قَالُوا بِرَأِهِمْ فَقَدْ اِخْطَأَ رَأْيُهُمْ. These people have erred. أَرَىٰ أَنَّدِيَتَهُ عَلَيْكَ. Oh Umar, it's quite clear that you're liable and responsible. لِأَنَّكَ أَفْزَعْتَهَا وَأَلْقَتْ وَلَدَهَا فِي سَبَبِكَ. You were the man that called her. This created panic in her. And this then had a ripple effect which brought about early labor. And she gave birth and the child tragically passed away. So effectively, if you trace the sequence of events, you are liable. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu took to that opinion. Anyway, coming back to the incident of those people that ate the 8 loaves, speaking about the aspect of greed. So he said, 5 dirhams for me, 3 dirhams for you. He said, no, let's go to Ali radiallahu anhu. Litigation process. I'll walk the full road. I won't back off. Okay, come to Sayyidina Ali. Look at the wisdom of Ali radiallahu anhu. He said, after he heard the whole thing, listen, brother, he addressed the one who had 3 dirhams, that your friend, your colleague, قَدْ عَرَضَ عَلَيْكَ صَاحِبُكَ مَا عَرَضْ وَخُبْزُهُ أَكْثَرْ مِنْ خُبْزِكْ فَخُذِ الدَّرَاهِمَ الثَّلَاثَ خَيْرًا لَكْ. Before I pronounce a verdict, in my individual capacity, not with the cap of a judge on my head, but I speak to you as a brother now, and I'm not sitting on the bench. I'm talking to you as a brother. You know what? Take the 3 dirhams, it will be good for you. Stop this whole argument. Take 3 dirhams. لَنْ أَخُذَ إِلَّا حَقِّي. لَنْ أَخُذَ إِلَّا حَقِّي. Who's going to tell me otherwise? I'm giving you the incident. Sayyidina Ali said, okay, you want your right? He said, yes, I want my due. He said, لَيْسَ لَكَ إِلَّا دِرْهَمٌ وَاحِدٌ. لَيْسَ لَكَ إِلَّا دِرْهَمٌ وَاحِدٌ. You're right, my brother. Your due, I'm afraid you don't get 3, you don't get 2, you get a lousy 1. You get a lousy 1. He said, I'm fighting to make my 3 into 4, and you're making my 3 into 1, and then you want to convince me that that's my right? How is this? Now look at Sahaba. It wasn't, you know what, you download this app, or you put this program, and you know what, it synchronizes the details, and it gives you the answer. I was marveling at the vision, the foresight, the wisdom of Sahaba. Just see how quick his mind ran. He said, أَلَيْسَ لِلْثَمَانِيَةِ الْأَرْغِفَةِ أَرْبَعَةُ وَعِشْرُونَ ثُلُثَ. Follow this, you quickly. Take 8 and divide it into, you said you were 3 that ate 8 loaves equally. He said, yes indeed. Divide 8 into 3 people equally, it cannot be divided equally. Okay, let's assume that you cut each loaf into half. So you had 16 halves. Divide 16 halves into 3 people, you cannot divide it equally. So that means we take it to the next denomination and we divide it into 24 portions. 24 divided by 3, each person ate 8 portions. Because you said 3 ate 8 loaves equally. That's the key thing. So he said, أَلَيْسَ لِلثَّمَانِيَةِ الْأَرْغِفَةِ أَرْبَعَةُ وَعِشْرُونَ ثُلُثَ. Is it not that 8 loaves divided into 24 portions leaves every person with 8 portions? وَإِذَا قُسِّمَ عَلَى ثَلَاثَ صَارَ لِكُلِّ وَاحِدٍ ثَمَانِيَةَ أَثْلَاثَ. When you divide 24 into 3, each man has 8 portions. He says, of course. فَأَنْتَ أَكَلْتَ ثَمَانِيَةَ أَثْلَافٍ. So you, brother, who had 3 loaves, that means you also ate 8 loaves. You had 8 portions. He says, yeah, of course I ate 8 portions. وَأَرْغِفَتُكَ الثَّلَاثَةُ تُسَاوِي تِسْعَةَ أَثْلَافٍ. And your 3 loaves, which you had, when you divide it, it comes into 9 portions, 8 of which you ate yourself. وَأَرْغِفَتُكَ الثَّلَاثَةُ. You see, that's why he told him, take your 3 dirhams and go home. But no, greed. You're about to come back. Your flight is booked. Ching Chong offered you a better deal in China. So now, phone the agent. You know what, can you put me onto tomorrow's flight? Hey, phone Ibrahim, tell him to pick up the children. Hey, tell Yusuf must open the shop. Now the whole apple cart is upside down. And what's the candy that I'm dangling before my children? If this deal comes right, make dua inshallah, then we'll do Umrah in business class. We'll go for Umrah and all of us on business class. Tumko dua kara kar jo. Why? Great. So now the whole ripple effects. My brother, take your 3 dirhams and go. أَلَيْسَ لِلثَّمَانِيَةِ الْأَرْغِفَةِ أَرْبَعَةُ وَعِشْرُونَ. So now your 3 loaves is divided into 9. أَكَلْتَ مِنْهَا ثَمَانِيَةَ. You ate from it 8. وَبَقِيَ لَكَ ثُلُثٌ, and one portion from your bread was not consumed by yourself. أَكَلَهَا صَاحِبُ الدَّرَاهِمِ, that other brother who came, he ate it. With regards to your friend, فَأَرْغِفَتُهُ الْخَمْسَ تُسَاوِي خَمْسَةَ عَشْرَ ثُلُثًا, his 5 times 3 becomes 15. أَكَلَ مِنْهَا ثَمَانِيَ, he ate from it 8. وَبَقِيَ لَهُ سَبْعَةٌ, and 7 of his were not eaten by himself. أَكَلَهَا صَاحِبُ الدَّرَاهِمِ مَعَ ثُلُثِكَ, that other brother ate his 7 and your 1. فَلَكَ دِرْهَمٌ وَلَهُ سَبْعَةُ دَرَاهِمِ, simple, you get 1, he gets 7. He said, yeah, but hey, you know that 3 was sounding nice. It's too late, my friend. It's too late. الآن رضيت. Now I realize, but it's too late. Where did this misery come from? All stems from the aspect of greed. Third incident. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu is walking in the night. It's a cold night. تَرْتَعِشُ أَطْرَافُهُ مِنْ شِدَّةِ الْجُوعِ وَالْبَرْدِ, he's trembling because of coal. He has absolutely nothing. أَخَذَ قِطْعَةً مِّنْ حَصِيرِ, he takes a portion of leather. رَبَطَ بِهَا صَدْرَهُ, he ties it on his chest. لِيَسْتَدْفِئَ بِهَا, to draw some warmth from this leather. As he's walking, he passes by a non-Muslim. He says, what's the matter, Ali? Ali radiallahu anhu says, I'm hungry, it's cold. Yeah, it's just really challenging. He said, هَلْ لَكَ أَن تَمْلَأَ لِي مَاءً, would you fill buckets of water for me? And I will give you on every bucket that you fill one date. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu said, that is fine, that's perfect, I'm ready to do it. And he gets busy. Unfortunately, the generation of today don't want to flex their muscles. They don't want to move anything. Sitting on their laurels. Everything must fall on their plate. Sayyidina Ali is hungry. It's cold. The challenges are daunting upon him. Here comes an offer with a meager amount. Fill the buckets. It's a tedious task. It's a challenging task. The remuneration is nothing more than a date on a bucket. He embraces the option and he gets busy with it. He fills a bucket, he gets a date. He fills a bucket, he gets a date. حَتَّمْ تَلَأَتْ كَفُّهُ, until his entire palm was filled with dates. He said, حَسْبُكَ مِنِّ الْآنِ, okay, brother, that's sufficient. I will eat this and it's fine. So the brother who had employed the skills of Ali said, no, but I've got many other buckets to fill. He said, but I don't earn beyond what I need for the day. I don't tire myself beyond. The bigger the mansion, the more the tension. The bigger the mansion, the more the tension. That's a harsh reality. لا تتخذوا الضيعة فترغبوا في الدنيا. Don't erect high buildings. This will intrigue you to materialism. This will attract you to materialism. He said, that's it. Once I've got adequate dates, it's fine. أكل التمرات, he ate the dates. شرب عليهن قليلا من الماء, he drank water. And then he comes out from there. Can you imagine? He had this challenging circumstances. He walks to, and this was the fortune of Sahaba. He comes to Nabi alayhi salam. Whatever misery they had, they used to come in his blessed company and they used to soothe their wounds. They used to comfort their pain. They used to tranquilize their agony. So it could be a daunting day, it could be a challenging day, it could be a harsh day. But then they would just come and sit there by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There a woman who lost her partner, her lost her son, and then when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked her, how are you? She said, kullu musibatin ba'daka jalal ya Rasulullah. A Prophet of Allah, once my eyes fall upon you, no problem remains a challenge. And this was the fortune of Sahaba, that they could come there, sit by the Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam, comfort their souls, comfort their souls. Back in the days, you know, when the pious Muhammad ibn Wasi' rahmatullah alayh, he used to say, kuntu idha wahantu fil ibada. One person says, kuntu idha wahantu fil ibada wa kasaltu nadartu ila Muhammad ibn al-Wasi' fatanashshatu fil ibada. He said that sometimes when I used to feel lethargic and I used to feel lame, then there was this pious man in our community, I would just give him one affectionate glance and instantly my spirit would be energized for worship for weeks. Today, unfortunately, even if you energize, when you look, you lose the energy. Why? Because, unfortunately, you know, there was this person, this particular disciple, he told his mentor. And obviously there are those that are the genuine mentors and we need to align ourselves with them and draw from them. But at the same time, there are many, unfortunately, who are seeking power, who are seeking fame, who are seeking recognition. And you will realize those that are sincere in... If you study the lives of our pious predecessors, you will find two things were amazing in them. All of them, they had ikhlas and they had zuhud. These were the two things that was the common denominator. So anyway, this person, this disciple, he had a dream. And he came to his mentor and he said to him, you know what, I had a very strange dream. The dream was that you had honey on your fingers. And I had dirt, filth, muck, impurity on my fingers. So the mentor said, oh, that's a clear interpretation. You've immersed yourself into the things of this world, into falsehood, into sin. And me, I'm into the pure, the wholesome, the great things. He said, wait, hang on, the dream is not over. I was licking your finger and you were licking mine. The dream's not over. And what was the message? The message was that this disciple was coming with the desire of reformation. But unfortunately, this so-called mentor, he had other ulterior motives in this person. He was trying to draw something else from him. So Sahaba would come and comfort themselves in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's company. As Sayyidina Ali walked in, and he was most certainly going to capture the audience, and he was going to steal the show. And the glance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was turning toward him when a Sahabi with more challenging crisis walked in and he reduced everyone to tears. And that was none other than Mus'ab ibn Umayr radiyallahu anhu. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was about to sympathize and there was a crack in his voice and there was a tear in his eye. And Mus'ab ibn Umayr, the young, the talented, the affluent, the energetic, the flamboyant boy who had everything, walks in torn and tattered. And the Prophet ﷺ looks at him, and the Sahaba tear, and he tears, and he says, لَقَدْ رَأَيْتُ مُصْعَبًا هَذَا وَمَا بِمَكَّةَ فَتًا أَنْعَمُ عِنْدَ أَبَوَيْهِ مِنْهُ لَقَدْ تَرَكَ ذَلِكَ كُلَّهُ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ وَلِرَسُولِهِ. Or when I look at this boy, like it or not, my mind just starts turning pages. And I can remember this arrogant boy, and I can remember this flamboyant boy, and I can remember this shameless boy. But today he has brought tears to the entire group of Sahaba. And then the Prophet ﷺ addressed the Sahaba and he said, how will be your time when you will have so much affluence that before one platter will be lifted, the next will be brought. وَسَتَرْتُمْ بُيُوتَكُمْ كَمَا تُسْتَرُ الْكَعْبَةِ. And you will pride yourself in decorating your homes as you decorate the Kaaba. And the Sahaba said, oh Prophet ﷺ, that will be awesome, that will be great, that will be brilliant. And he said, by Allah, you're better off today than that day. That day you will have adequate drinks to comfort your thirst, but you will be thirsty for the blood of your brother. You will be thirsty for the blood of your brother. One day Jabir radiallahu anhu comes to visit Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. So Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu tells him that this world will function effectively if there are four types of people. Alimun yasta'milu ilmahu, a true scholar of deen. Those who imbibe the sciences of deen. Those who convey and exhibit the character of deen. عَالِمٌ يَسْتَعْمِلُ عِلْمَهُ. Number two, جَاهِلٌ لَا يَسْتَنْكِفُ أَنْ يَتَعَلَّمُ. An ignorant man who doesn't find it below his dignity to learn and acquire. And a third, a wealthy man who is generous. Who is generous. By Allah, the thing to envy in a man is not his wealth, but the generosity. And if he doesn't have generosity, there's nothing to envy in that wealth. There's nothing to envy. And the fourth one is فَقِيرٌ لَا يَبِيعُ دِينَهُ. A pauper who does not forsake his faith due to poverty. So قِوَامُ الدُّنْيَا بِأَرْبَعَ. If these four people are on this world, then the ship of humanity will sail across the oceans. And if there is an imbalance and there is a vacuum of any of this, they will create, you know what, turbulence and it will have ripple effects. And then Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu quoted the beautiful couplets, and he said, "Ma ahsana ad-dunya wa iqbalaha, idha ata'a Allah man nalaha, man lam yuwasi an-nasa min fadlihi, 'arrada lil-idbari iqbalaha, fahdhar zawal al-fadli ya Jabir, wa a'ti min dunyaka man sa'alaha, fa inna dhal-'arshi jazilul 'ata yud'ifu bil-habbati amthalaha." It goes on very long. Effectively what he says, brilliant is this world if the man who owns it knows how to use it. Now I give you an example of how Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu was. He didn't just say it. You know what you say? Walk the talk. Live your words. Show what you say. And that's exactly what he did. He did walk the talk. A janaza was brought in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Atat janazatun mahmulatun ala al-a'naq. Carried and brought. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's practice was whenever the corpse was brought, he would ask, "Hal taraka min daynin?" Is there any outstanding debts? So if there would be debts, he would say, "Has the brother left behind adequate funds to offset the debts?" If they would say yes, then he would go forward and lead the prayer. He asked, "Is there any outstanding debts?" They said yes. "Hal taraka min wafa?" Has he left behind money to offset the debts? They said no. He said, "Okay, well then I don't want to muster the courage to lead his prayer. I don't want to lead his prayer." Subhanallah, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu comes from the rear. And he says, "Oh Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, I don't know the man personally. Nor am I familiar with the liability. But don't deny him that prayer. And whoever has any claims, take it from me." Imagine if that was the fabric of our society. If that was the fiber of our community, if that was the richness of our interaction, that here is my brother's body here, I cannot allow him to be denied the prayer, whoever has claims, come to me. The Prophet ﷺ's face is radiating. I mean, what a type of group of Sahaba is he leaving behind? Where they're not bickering, but rather one is there to give the other. And he says, "فَكَّ اللَّهُ رِهَانَكَ مِنَ النَّارِ كَمَا فَكَكْتَ رِهَانَ أَخِيكَ الْمُسْلِمِ Ali, I have to congratulate you. Before you have rescued him from hell, Allah has liberated you from hell. فَكَّ اللَّهُ رِهَانَكَ مِنَ النَّارِ كَمَا فَكَكْتَ رِهَانَ أَخِيكَ الْمُسْلِمِ الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ سِرًّا وَعْلَانِيَةً فَلَهُمْ أَجْرُهُمْ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ وَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ In Usudul Ghaba on page 98, this narration is mentioned. Someone asked Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, regarding whom was this ayah revealed? He said, "Of course, Ali radiallahu anhu. Allah had blessed him with money, those who spend by day, those who spend by night, those who spend secretly, those who spend openly." He said, this was an accolade conferred upon Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. This was a privilege given to him, that Allah had favored him with funds secretly, openly, hiddenly, by night, by day, he would spend it in the path of Allah. Another very amazing thing in the life of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu from which we can draw great lessons is obviously his great marriage to the great woman Sayyidina Fatima radiallahu anha. That when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wedded Sayyidina Ali to Fatima radiallahu anha, he said to her, "Ankahtuki ahabba ahli." My daughter, I made no mistakes in wedding you to Ali radiallahu anhu. I got you married to the best person. And in one narration it comes, in Sirat Mustafa I read this narration, "Ma tazawwajtu shay'an min banati, wala zawwajtu shay'an min nisa'i, illa biwahyin ja'ani bihi Jibril an Rabbi Azza wa Jal." That every partner of mine and every son-in-law of mine has been the choice of Allah Himself. Has been the choice of Allah Himself. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu in Tariqh al-Khulafa it is mentioned, he said, "There's three things for which I'm green with envy for Ali. Number one, tazawwujuhu Fatima." Allah gave the honor of wedding the daughter of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam Fatima to Ali. I envy him for the privilege. I envy him for the honor. Number two, suknahu al-masjid yahillu lahu fihi ma la yahillu li. He had certain privileges in Masjid al-Nabawi, nobody else, and we had to respect it. And number three, أَخْذُهُ الرَّايَ يَوْمَ خَيْبَرٍ. In the battle of Khaybar, the banner was given when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, لَأُعْطِيَنَّ غَدًا الرَّايَ الرَّجُلُ يُحِبُّ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَيُحِبُّهُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. I mean, one is to say that I love Allah and His Nabi. That's great, and that's our duty. But imagine the Prophet ﷺ said, tomorrow I'm giving the banner to someone whom Allah and His Nabi love. And everybody was tiptoeing with anticipation. And they were ready. And then the Prophet ﷺ gave it to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. Now this again was the beauty of Sahaba. They anticipated it, but when it was given to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, they respected it. Yeah, son-in-law, you know. I don't know. No, there was no bickering. There was no divide in the camps. There was no subtle references here. They all stood in anticipation. But when it was given to Ali, they embraced and they lived with that decision. This was the beauty of Sahaba. They were honest. They didn't harbor anything in their hearts. When the Prophet ﷺ wedded Sayyidina Fatima radiallahu anha, he made a dua. You have the pious to make a dua, you have a learned to make the dua. Nabi ﷺ himself made the dua. Allahumma barik lahuma, wa barik alayhima, wa barik fi naslihima, wa barik fi shamlihima. Allah bless them, bless their union, bless their children, bless their progeny, bless their offspring. Everything done. However, there cannot be a greater union, a greater match, a better matchmaker than Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But as my opening comments were, life by its nature has challenges. Sayyidina Ali and Fatima radiallahu anha experience and encounter some challenges in the relation. So it can happen, and it happened in the best of relations. The hadith is in Bukhari. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam comes home. But look at the wisdom. Now we don't have that wisdom. We don't have the wisdom. I say today, the elderly might not have that wisdom or that patience, and the children don't have that respect. So this creates a gulf between the juniors and the seniors. If we have an added level of tolerance from our seniors and a sense of respect from our juniors, we can build bridges. We can foster relations. Now we create in this, these are like this and these old people are like this. And what happened? We alienate in one from another. So anyway, the hadith is in Bukhari. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes home and he sees that Fatima radiallahu anha, you know, she's not looking so bright, and Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu is not there. So he inquires, he says, what's the matter? So she said that Ali radiallahu anhu is gone to the masjid. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam realized through his psychology, his wisdom, his firasat, that there was an argument and things were not good. So anyway, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam excuses himself and he goes there. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu is lying. You must see in Fathul Bari, the write-up on this hadith, I was marveling at it. How much deductions we learn from this here. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu is lying, and he's lying on some sand and dust, and the dust has imprinted on his body. Now obviously the mood is a bit tensed, it's a bit hostile, it's unpleasant. So to break the ice, to approach the topic, to soften the atmosphere, to lighten up the mood, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's psychology, his psychology, he commences with this here. Look at the sensitivity and the psychology. He says, قُمْ يَا أَبَا تُرَاب. Oh, you looking like a dusty man. You looking like a dusty man. That's looking quite amazing, quite strange. أَبَا تُرَاب. The father of sand, the father of dust. That's what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives him a name. And the aim of this was nothing more than to lighten it up. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about the fasting of Ramadan, Allah didn't say 30 days. Allah said, أَيَّامًا مَعْدُودَاتْ أَيَّامًا مَعْدُودَاتْ. Few days. And really speaking, compared to the entire year, it is few days. So it's important that when we interact also, we develop certain forms of psychology. How do we talk? How do we talk? You know, to say a thing in a polite way, in a loving way, in a caring way. We might be giving the same equivalent sentiments, but if we use a psychological approach and study the psychology of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Anyway, he stands him up and then gently ushers him and walks him home and unites them together, and all is back to normal. He walks out, his face is beaming. Someone says, you're looking so bright and happy. He says, why should I not be happy when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made me the means of uniting two people who are the closest to me? Now Hafiz ibn Hajar rahmatullah alayhi writes, and this is what I want to share with you. He said, from the above hadith we learn that أَنَّ أَهْلَ الْفَضْلِ قَدْ يَقَعُ أَنَّ أَهْلَ الْفَضْلِ The people of virtue, قَدْ يَقَعُ بَيْنَهُمْ وَبَيْنَ زَوْجَاتِهِمْ مَا طُبِعَ عَلَيْهِ الْبَشَرُ مِنَ الْغَضَبِ وَقَدْ يَدْعُ ذَلِكَ إِلَى الْخُرُوجِ وَلَا يُعَابُ عَلَيْهِ That the best of relations also have a share, fair share of altercation. There cannot be a better matchmaker than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and there cannot be a greater son-in-law than Ali radiallahu anhu and a greater spouse than Fatima. But even that relation was not free from challenges, from hurdles, from obstacles. And at times, the nature of the altercation calls for one party to walk away, and there's nothing wrong if you walk away. Sayyidina Ali walks away. Look at his wisdom. Now another thing, maybe let me tell you here. If you look at Sayyidina Ali, he goes down as one of the greatest in terms of valor, in terms of strength, in terms of might. He was very, very brave. The famous incident of Amr ibn Abd al-Wud on the occasion of Khandaq, where he came and when the companions had dug the trenches, he scaled the trench. He was so brave. And then he started daring the Sahaba and he said, well, who'll take me on? And Sayyidina Ali said, I'll take you on. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, no, but you know, he's very strong. So he sat down. Then again, Amr ibn Wud said, أَيْنَ جَنَّتُكُمُ الَّتِي تَزْعُمُونَ أَنَّهُ مَنْ قُتِلَ مِنْكُمْ دُونَهَا دَخَلَهَا But you said that if you die, you'll go to paradise. Come. So Sayyidina Ali stood up. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Ali, sit down. Again he stood up. Then he said, Oh Nabi of Allah, now I cannot resist it. Let me go. He's provoking me. He's inciting me. It's time that I respond. And then he sang the famous couplets, لَا تَعْجِلَنَّ فَقَدْ أَتَاكَ مُجِيبُ صَوْتِكَ غَيْرُ عَاجِزٍ فِي نِيَّةٍ وَبَصِيرَةٍ وَالصِّدْقَ مَنْ جَا كُلَّ فَائِزٍ إِنِّي لَأَرْجُو أَنْ أُقِيمَ عَلَيْكَ نَائِحَةَ الْجَنَائِزِ مِنْ ضَرْبَةِ النَّجْلَى يَبْقَى ذِكْرُهَا عِنْدَ الْهَزَائِزِ أَعْلَيَّ تَقْتَحِمُ الْفَوَارِسُ هَكَذَا عَنِّي وَعَنْهُمْ أَخِّرُوا أَصْحَابِ Anyway, he advances, and then ثَارَ الْعَجَاجِ The dust rises, and the view is obscured. And then he strikes Sayyidina Ali, and Sayyidina Ali strikes him. And then he says, Allahu Akbar. And the Sahaba realized that Allah gave him victory. And then Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu said, أَعْلَيَّ تَقْتَحِمُ الْفَوَارِسُ هَكَذَا عَنِّي وَعَنْهُمْ أَخِّرُوا أَصْحَابِي الْيَوْمَ يَمْنَعُنِ الْفِرَارَ حَفِيظَتِي وَمُصَمِّمٌ فِي الرَّأْسِ لَيْسَ بِنَابِي عَبَدَ الْحِجَارَةَ مِنْ سَفَاهَةِ رَأْيِهِ وَعَبَدْتُ رَبَّ مُحَمَّدٍ بِصَوَابِي فَصَدَرْتُ حِينَ تَرَكْتُهُ مُتَجَدِّلًا كالجذع بين دكادك وروابي وعففت عن أثوابه ولو أنني كنت المقتر بزني أثوابي لا تحسبن الله خاذل دينه ونبيه يا معشر الأحزاب It's detailed, it's awesome, it's amazing. In essence, he said that I showed dignity to him. After killing him, I backed off. Knowing very well if he had the upper hand over me, he would have left my body in a state of nudity. He would have stripped me of my clothing. But I showed respect to his dead corpse also. And then he said, Allah will never forsake his Nabi. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said, هَلَّا اسْتَلَبْتَ دِرْعَهُ فَإِنَّهُ لَيْسَ لِلْعَرَبِ دِرْعٌ خَيْرٌ مِّنْهُ Why didn't you take off the armor that he had? He had such a beautiful armor. You know how exclusive that armor is. He said, ضَرَبْتُهُ فَاتَّقَانِي بِسَوْأَتِهِ فَاسْتَحْيَيْتُ إِبْنَ عَمِّي أَنْ أَسْلِبَهُ When I struck him, then his private area became exposed. And out of modesty, I said, I don't want to make any further advancements. Out of modesty, I said, let me back off. We show respect. The Prophet ﷺ said, لَا تَنْظُرْ إِلَىٰ فَخِذِ حَيِّنْ وَلَا مَيِّتٍ Do not look at the thigh, which is the sitter area of a male, not a female, a living, not a dead. That is the modesty of Islam. The point I'm saying is, Sayyidina Ali embraced a challenge that nobody else could embrace. When his wife and him had an altercation, he didn't say, you know what, I'm a heavyweight, I'm a lightweight, I got this accolade. He walked out with dignity. After having all that strength to walk out, wallah, that is strength. That is strength. In the face of all your titles. That is why one person went to his mother and he said, Mom, when will I know I found the right woman? Oh, what was the advice of this woman? She said, my son, stop looking for the right woman. Be sure to become the right man. Oh, my son, stop looking for the right woman. Be sure to become the right man. And everything will fall in place. And my sister, you become the right woman. Each one of us, in English they say, be the change you want to see in others. Be the change you want to see in others. I wish people can do this. Start off with yourself. effect that change into your own life. So that's the first thing we learn from Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. Number two, we learn that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam walked towards him. لِيَتَرَضَّاهُ. What? This was the beauty of Sahaba. When there was an argument, then you don't go drop your legal card there. Listen, if you want legal advice here, we can sue for defamation of character. Character assassination. Drop me a call, we'll talk. No. Jahjah radiallahu anhu and Sinan ibn Wabira radiallahu anhu, they had an altercation on the occasion of one campaign. And then one said, Ya lal muhajireen. And the other one said, Ya lal ansar. O muhajireen, come here. O ansar, come here. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, but that's racial. Da'uha fa'innaha muntina. Stop those slogans. It gives off a stench. It gives off a foul smell. And then Ubadah bin Samit radiallahu anhu, in that whole thing, the mistake was of Jahjah radiallahu anhu. He went to him, he went to the other brother, Sinan ibn Wabira. He said, listen, you've been faulted and you've been hurt. I'm asking you, my brother, forgive. So to go to the victim and not steer him or up him against anyone, but to encourage him with forgiveness and pardon. And that was the nature of Sahaba. The Prophet ﷺ went to Fatima radiallahu anha, went to Sayyidina Ali, won his confidence. Number three, what he writes here. وَلَمْ يُعَاتِبْهُ عَلَى مُغَاضَبَتِهِ لِبْنَتِهِ مَعْرَفِعِ مَنْزِلَتِهَا عِنْدَهُ. The Prophet ﷺ didn't reproach Ali and said, Ali, do you know how many proposals my daughter had? You know, you should be grateful. You should really be grateful. No. Once one brother came to me, and honestly, I was like, whoa, what was this now? He says, Sheikh, I've taken my son and we've proposed few places, but the girls are refusing. And I'm not trumpeting myself, but these girls don't know what they're losing out on. I said, like, ouch, uncle, that's loud. These were his actual words. He was so I said, if you're so confident about your commodity, it will sell without marketing, man. If you're so convinced about your commodity, well, you're marketing. These were his words. They say, no, they don't know. My son is a gem. I don't know. The Prophet ﷺ didn't admonish him and say, you know how great Fatima is? Do you know what's her position? How dare you did this here? So this was the type of character in which he conducted himself and united it. Two, three advisors of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. You know, there is one incident, but time is also running out. When Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu anhu one day called Sayyidina Dhirar radiallahu anhu, and he said, tell me about Ali. I know Mufti Abdul Rahman addressed it, and this was the beauty of Sahaba. Their hearts were united. Their hearts were united. They might have differed, and that is why we say the definition of unity was never consensus of opinion. If you're trying to unite the ummah by bringing them on a common opinion, you have not understood the definition of unity, because the Sahaba were most united with diversity of opinions. The definition of unity is respecting the diversity of opinions and managing yourself. A happy marriage never means, you know, like this brother we were talking, and this brother says, I'm married for 15 years and I never had problems and we never had an argument. So my friend said, I guess you don't stay with your wife. Because that's not a desired thing for me. I'm not wishing to reach a level in my relation that I don't have an argument. Why? Because my Nabi had an argument. But I'm hoping to reach a level of maturity. And I'm hoping to evolve to a level of integrity. That when I do have an argument, I can deal with the foresight with which my Nabi dealt. I can deal with the vision with which my Nabi dealt. That he told his woman, I'm going for a month and I'm coming back. And when he came back after 29 days, our mother Aisha radiallahu anha types of taunts him. And she said, I thought you said you're gone for 30 days and you're back in 29. So you're missing us. Now if it was us, let's be honest. At that provocation, with respect, our mother Aisha, we hold in the greatest of honor. In the greatest of ranking. You're walking out of a situation. It's heated. It's ugly. And then when you come back after 29 days, and this is how, oh, I thought you were gone for 30 days. Boho, where are we? Yeah? What happened? The Prophet ﷺ said, "Ash-shahru hakadha, wa hakadha, wa hakadha." Aisha, Aisha, reflect over my words. I didn't say 30 days. I said a month. And some lunar months comprise of 29 days. Oh man. You know what it takes at that moment to say that? You know, to contain, to subdue, to have, you know, one great scholar, Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayh, he said, "I never allow my emotions to overpower my intellect. And I never allow my intellect to override the Shariat." What did he say? "I never allow my emotions to get the better of me. My emotions will never go over my intellect, and my intellect never goes over the Shariat. When it comes to the divine laws, my logic must back off." When Sayyidina Umar came and kissed the black stone, what did he say? He set a precedent for us. He set a standard for us. He said, "Ya Hajar, inni a'lamu annaka Hajar." Oh, what a statement. Oh, stone. He addressed the lifeless, inanimate object of a stone in full public view. The hadith of Muslim Sharif. He said, "You're a stone. Ma tanfa' wa la tadur. You cannot benefit me. You cannot harm me. Lawla anni ra'aytu Rasulallahi yuqabbiluka ma qabbaltuk." That is what I have to tell you. But now my brains, it's your time to listen. He talks to his intellect. He says, "The master had put his blessed lips here. Umar, don't ask why, if what, put your lips there, in that is your salvation. I will never allow my emotions to override my intellect, and I will never allow my intellect to go over the Sharia." That is the wisdom. And that's what's the vision we need. So anyway, the unity, that's what I was saying, the unification of Sahaba, was respecting the diversity. They understood the diversity. And they understood the rank of each Sahabi in his place. There was no bickering. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is sitting, oh, when I read this hadith, I was like blown away. He's sitting with his Sahaba. Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhuma are there. And Abbas radiallahu anhu walks in. Now Abbas was a man of prominence. He was Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's uncle. But the ranking of Abu Bakr was greater. But Abu Bakr was sensitive to the family relation of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As soon as Abbas radiallahu anhu walked in, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu moved back, providing an open space so that the uncle of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam can be ushered forward. His wisdom, understanding. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Innama ya'rifu al-fadla li ahli al-fadli, ahlu al-fadli." I cannot translate this. I will never able to translate this. إِنَّمَا يَعْرِفُ الْفَضْلَ لِأَهْلِ الْفَضْلِ أَهْلُ الْفَضْلِ. By Allah, when I read this, I, you know, when I'm studying, and if I come across a hadith, something like this, you know, I like bubble with excitement. And I go like, wake my wife up, listen to this man, listen, I need to share it. I need to tell you. And that's why it's good to get married to someone that can speak your language and, you know, understand your same things, so that there's commonness in your values. إِنَّمَا يَعْرِفُ الْفَضْلَ لِأَهْلِ الْفَضْلِ أَهْلُ الْفَضْلِ. When you talk of eloquence and articulate and choice of words, where can you compare to the master? He said, "Verily, it is people of virtue that recognize the virtue of other virtuous people." Verily, it is people of virtue, meaning paying tribute to Abu Bakr. Oh, Abu Bakr, that was brilliant of you. You sized the situation. You were matured enough. You knew what was the right move. I didn't have to make a gesture. You understood. You moved. إِنَّمَا يَعْرِفُ الْفَضْلَ لِأَهْلِ الْفَضْلِ أَهْلُ الْفَضْلِ. What that environment must have been. So the point I was saying, Sahaba, they had diversity of opinion. They differed in the أراضي مفتوحة, the captured lands. Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhu had fundamental differences. In the captured lands, in the dispensation of the captured lands, Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhuma had fundamental differences. But their hearts were united. Someone came to Umar and he said, "Anta khayrun min Abi Bakr." Umar, people are all raving Abu Bakr, Abu Bakr. But there is a strong group within us that feel you even greater than Abu Bakr. Listen to this. There is a group within us, the narration. People are saying, Abu Bakr, Abu Bakr. But there is a party, there is a group, there is a faction There is a segment. There is a sect that says, if it was me, I would say, talk louder. Sorry, brother, what were you saying? You said, oh, okay, I'm superior to Abu Bakr. Okay, right, that's your opinion. No. May Allah's choices, blessings be on Umar. May Allah's choices, blessings be on Umar. Wallahi la laylatum min Abi Bakr wa Umar. Wallahi la laylatum min Abi Bakr wa yawm khayrun min Umar wa Ali Umar. Don't ever stop your horses in your tracks. Revoke your words. One night of Abu Bakr and one particular day of Abu Bakr is more meritorious than myself and my progeny till Qiyamah. That was it. So Sayyidina Muawiyah and Ali radiallahu anhu had the differences, but their hearts, he called Dhirar ibn Dhamura al-Kinani. He said, tell me about Ali. Tell me, after Ali radiallahu anhu passed away, tell me. He said, no man, I cannot tell you. He says, no, I want to hear about him. What all the differences? Look at the respect and the love. He said, kana wallahi ba'id al-mada, shadid al-quwa, yaqulu fasla, wa yahkumu adla, yatafajjaru al-ilmu min jawanibihi, wa tantiqu al-hikmatu min nawahihi. He was a man of few words. He was a man of decisive speech. يَسْتَوْحِشُ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا وَزَهْرَتِهَا. Very uncomfortable with glitter and glamour. يَسْتَأْنِسُ بِاللَّيْلِ وَظُلْمَتِهِ. He loved the night and its darkness and isolation for worship. كَانَ وَاللَّهِ كَأَحَدِنَا يُدْنِينَا إِذَا أَتَيْنَاهُ وَيُجِيبُنَا إِذَا سَأَلْنَاهُ. Simple if you met him, humble if you spoke to him. وَكَانَ مَعَ تَقَرُّبِهِ مِنَّا وَقُرْبِهِ لَا نُكَلِّمُهُ هَيْبَةً لَهُ. But as close as he was, his awe kept us all at our distance. We would have never transcended those boundaries. We respected him. فَإِن تَبَسَّمْ فَعَمْ مِثْلِ اللُّؤْلُؤِ الْمَنْظُومِ. When he spoke, then it was scattered pearls that were coming out. لَا يَطْمَعُ الْقَوِيُّ فِي بَاطِلِهِ. The eloquent arrogant knew he stood no chance in his falsehood in front of Ali. وَلَا يَيْأَسُ الضَّعِيفُ مِنْ عَدْلِهِ. And the poor and the feeble never despaired of the justice of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. يُقَلِّبُ كَفَّهُ وَيُخَاتِبُ نَفْسَهُ. يُقَلِّبُ, he said, we would be sitting, then you just see him turning his hands. And then in the footnotes is written, تَحَسُّرًا عَلَىٰ تَقْصِيرِهِ فِي طَاعَةِ رَبِّهِ. He'll be sitting like this, and then he'll just do this here. Then he'll say, Ali, what have you done with yourself? What have you done with yourself, Ali? He says this, we're just talking, and then he just becomes silent, and then tahassuran, lamenting, regretting. What have I done with myself? What have I done with myself? I say this often, and I have my best moments of dua when I'm alone, when I'm not in a formal atmosphere. You know, when I'm flying or when I'm driving and I'm alone, I enjoy that the closest with my Allah. When it gives me the time to talk, to cry my heart out, to express my feelings, where you're completely alone. Oh my Allah, what am I doing with my life? What's my direction? تَحَسُّرًا عَلَىٰ تَقْصِيرِهِ فِي طَاعَةٍ. He said this was a common thing. يُقَلِّبُ كَفَّهُ وَيُخَاتِبُ نَفْسَهُ. And then he would speak to himself. يُعْجِبُهُ مِنَ اللِّبَاسِ مَا قَصُرْ وَمِنَ الطَّعَامِ مَا جَشُبْ. Simple clothes, basic food. أَشْهَدُ بِاللَّهِ لَقَدْ رَأَيْتُهُ. I swear by Allah, I won't forget this day. It was a night. It was dark. The stars had dwindled. He held onto his beard. قَابِضًا عَلَىٰ لِحْيَتِهِ يَتَمَلْمَلُ تَمَلْمُلَ السَّلِيمِ. He was trembling like he was bitten by a snake. وَيَبْكِي بُكَاءَ الْحَزِينِ. And I came close and I said, let me hear what he's saying. Then he started speaking to the world. He said, إِلَيَّ تَغَرَّرْتِ إِلَيَّ تَشَوَّقْتِ. Oh world, why do you always want to mislead me? Why do you always want to come and tempt me? Why me always? قَدْ بَتَتُكِ الثَّلَاثِ. عمرك قصير مجلسك حقير خطرك يسير. I've burnt myself enough with you. I've learned the hard way. I'm over with you. Back off and leave me. Back off and leave me. And then he said, ah, an exclamation of pain. من قلة الزاد وبعد السفر ووحشة الطريق. Allah, I don't know how I'm going to meet you. I don't have enough provisions. And I don't have enough. I'm not familiar with the road. And then he said this and he ended his night. Muawiyah radiallahu anhu then asked Dhirar, كَيْفَ وَجْدُكَ عَلَيْهِ يَا Dhirar. Dhirar, now that Ali is gone, how do you feel? He said, وَجْدُ مَنْ ذُبِحَ وَاحِدُهَا فِي حِجْرِهَا. A mother whose son has been, whose only son has been slaughtered in her lap, cold-blooded, mercilessly. The emotions of that mother is what I feel, although years have passed since Ali has passed on. كَيْفَ وَجْدُكَ عَلَيْهِ يَا ضِرَارِ وَجْدُ مَنْ ذُبِحَ وَاحِدُهَا فِي حِجْرِهَا. When Ibn Muljim struck him with the spear, 2-3 advisors, and I'll conclude. Ibn Muljim, who came and struck him with the spear, and he realized it's fatal, and he's slipping away from life, and it's critical. He said, call my son Hassan quickly. And then Hassan radiallahu anhu came, Tariq al-Khulafa. He said, my son, I give you 4 advisors. I won't be seen long. I'm going to be taking my last breath. Let me leave this with you and move on. Number one, إِيَّاكَ وَمُصَاحَبَةِ الْأَحْمَقِ. Oh, my son, in life, I've learned a lot. I've seen a lot. Don't ever befriend a foolish person. فَإِنَّهُ يُرِيدُ أَن يَنْفَعَكَ. He will try to help you, but he'll harm you because of his foolish nature. Keep your distance away from a foolish person. Number two, إِيَّاكَ وَمُصَاحَبَةِ الْكَذَّابِ. فَإِنَّهُ يُبَعِّدُ عَلَيْكَ الْقَرِيبُ وَيُقَرِّبُ عَلَيْكَ الْبَعِيدُ. Don't associate with a liar. He'll make your friends into foe and foe into friends. Relatives into enemies, enemies into relatives. Person who lies, keep your distance from him. إِيَّاكَ وَمُصَاحَبَةِ الْفَاجِرِ. Keep your distance from a sinner, a person who sins. Keep your, you know, فَإِنَّهُ يَبِيعُكَ بِالتَّافِهِ. إِيَّاكَ وَمُصَاحَبَةِ الْبَخِيلِ. Keep yourself away from a miser. Number one. فَإِنَّهُ يَقْعُدُ مِنْكَ أَحْوَجَ مَا تَكُونُ إِلَيْهِ. He'll desert you at the most critical time. A man who is mising, whose fist is tight, don't be his friend. And the last advice, don't associate with people who don't fear Allah. If he doesn't fear Allah, where will he have regard for you? And then he said, my son, لَيْسَ الْخَيْرُ أَن يُكْثَرَ مَالُكَ وَوَلَدُكَ. It is no virtue, it is no virtue that your money goes up and your children multiply. وَلَكِنَّ الْخَيْرُ. But all goodness is, أَن يُكْثَرَ عِلْمُكَ وَيُعْظَمَ حِلْمُكَ. That your knowledge increases and your levels of tolerance go up. Your levels of tolerance go up. If you return from this year, my brother, home, with a greater sense of tolerance with your partner and a greater sense of tolerance with your children, and I have that myself, then you know what? We've achieved something. Then we've made some progress. Sayyidina Ali's last words, لَيْسَ الْخَيْرِ أَن يُكْثَرَ مَالُكَ وَوَلَدُكَ. More children, more money, that's nothing. That's nothing. وَلَكِنَّ الْخَيْرِ. Some people think if you have 2 shops, it becomes 3, it's barakat. That's a deception. That the biggest chain stores also got. So all these big stores, they got barakat. No. Barakat is الْمَنَافِعُ الْكَثِيرَ بِأَسْبَابِ الْقَلِيلَ. The definition of barakat is maximum benefit from minimum resources. That is barakah. But progress, that's common maths. What was barakat? Barakat is something that doesn't gel with the common understanding. From 1 to 2, 2 to 3, that's basic maths that I can understand anyone. الْمَنَافِعُ الْكَثِيرَ بِأَسْبَابِ الْقَلِيلَ. From the little that we have, we are happy, we are grateful, we are content. So don't befriend a person who is a sinner. And then he said, وَلَكِنَّ الْخَيْرِ. Goodness is, أَن يُكْثَرَ عِلْمُكَ. Your knowledge must increase. وَيُعْظَمَ حِلْمُكَ. Your tolerance must go up. And then he said, لَا خَيْرَ فِي الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا لِرَجُلَيْنِ. This world is only good for 2 people. This world is only good for 2 people. رَجُلْ أَذْنَبَ ذَنْبًا فَهُوَ تَدَارَكَ ذَلِكَ بِتَوْبَةِ. A person who has lived a sinful life, and now he's decided to change the direction of his life, the compass of his life, the focus of his life. So he wants to spend the latter part of his life to atone for the mistakes of his previous life. So he has meaning to live in this world. Because his vision is what? تَدَارَكَ ذَلِكَ بِتَوْبَةً وَرَجُلٌ يُسَارِعُ إِلَى الْخَيْرَاتِ. And a person who Allah has favored with goodness, and he continues to excel in that goodness, he said, this world is good for these 2 type of people. We ask the Almighty Allah that He free us from divine tragedies, catastrophes, protect us from inflicting misery upon ourselves. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala transmit into us the wisdom, the foresight, the vision, and the fortitude that Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu had. And hopefully, inshallah, we take this legacy and we leave from here. That's the legacy with which we leave. The words of that mother to her son, that you effect the change in your life. Don't worry about that one changing, effect the change and everything will happen. Allah inspire us all with the reality. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.